Bible to Genesis chapter number 24. And we're going to read a few verses over there, and then we'll go to the Lord in prayer. I've got some other things up here, but I'll wait on them. They've got a little time yet. I said Genesis 24, but I meant Genesis chapter 25. We're going to begin reading in verse number 24. So Genesis chapter number 25. And we'll begin reading at verse number 24, and then we'll go down through the end of this chapter. So we're going to read these 10 verses. Genesis chapter 25, verse number 24. And when our days to be delivered were fulfilled, behold, there were twins in her womb. And the first came out red all over, like an hairy garment, and they called his name Esau. And after that came his brother out, and his hand took hold on Esau's heel, and his name was called Jacob. And Isaac was 80 years old when she bare them. And the boys grew, and Esau was a cunning hunter, a man of the field, and Jacob was a plain man dwelling in tents. And Isaac loved Esau because he did eat of his venison, but Rebekah loved Jacob. And Jacob sawed pottage, and Esau came from the field, and he was faint. And Esau said to Jacob, "Feed me, I pray thee, with that same red pottage, for I am faint." Therefore was his name called Edom. And Jacob said, "Sell me this day thy birthright." And Esau said, "Behold, I am at the point to die. And what profit shall this birthright do to me?" And Jacob said, "Swear to me this day." And he sware unto him, and he sold his birthright unto Jacob. Then Jacob gave Esau bread and pottage of lentils, and he did eat and drink and rose up and went his way. Thus Esau despised his birthright. Let's pray. Lord, I do want to thank you for letting us be here today. Lord, I pray that you would speak to our hearts from the Word of God. I pray, Lord, that you would remove all the thoughts that hinder and steal our minds and hearts away when we try to come to focus upon the ministry of the Word of God. I pray you'd make it easy to preach today. I pray for good liberty. I pray you'd bind the devil that he'd not be able to interfere or hinder. I pray, Lord, your will would be done in our hearts. It's been good to be out in the Lord's house today. Lord, we pray for a good vacation Bible school. I pray, Lord, that you would get glory and honor and souls would be saved and the good seed of the gospel would be sown in hearts. And there might be good fruit to come this week and even in years to come. Lord, I pray we dedicate our hearts and minds to the work that needs to be done this week. Lord, I pray you'd give us joy in the work of the Lord. I pray, Lord, for your help this morning. I pray you'd speak to our hearts. We think about Vacation Bible School. We think about young people. Lord, it's mentioned many, many times here at church. We pray for our young people. And God, we remember them today. I pray for all of us, Lord, that we'd be what you'd have us to be. I pray you'd have your way. I ask for your help. I ask it in Jesus' name, and amen. Let's begin reading in verse number 34. One more time, we'll start there and give you the thought for the message today, or the title to the message. Verse number 34, the Bible says, "Then Jacob gave Esau bread and pottage of lentils, and he did eat and drink and rose up and went his way. Thus Esau despised his birthright." Thus Esau despised his birthright. And that's what I want to try to preach on today, or focus on today, this thought that Esau despised his birthright. I guess a good title would be "The Despised Birthright," because that's what the Bible says that Esau did with his birthright. But here we read about the twin sons of Abraham. And really, if you begin where we started today in verse number 24, it goes from their birth all the way through something that happened in their adult life. These men were young men by the time that Esau sold his birthright unto Jacob. I notice that it says here in these verses, verse number 27, and the boys grew. And so we learn a lot about these twin sons of Abraham in a very few short verses here. Now, I don't know if you picked up on it or not, but Esau was a daddy's boy. And Jacob was a mama's boy. And there's a lot of strife and heartache in this family down through the years because the parents had favorites. And if you want to have problems in your family, just have favorites in the family. And so that was a lot of the problems that developed later on. Dad loved and cared more for Esau, it seems like. And Mom, she cared more for Jacob. And Esau, as we read about him, it said in verse 27, Esau was a cunning hunter. If you look on down, it said that Jacob loved to eat his venison. That's the type of deer. And so old Esau was a deer hunter. And when I read about Esau and think about him, what the Bible said, he was a man of the field, a cunning hunter is what the Bible said. His name even means, if you study out what Esau means, it means to handle roughly. And old Esau, he was sort of rough. He was a rough type young man and developed into a young man. I mean, when he was born, the Bible said he was hairy all over and probably scared his mama when he came out. And, you know, I don't know that he was a pretty baby, but now Jacob was. Esau was rough. Esau was an outdoorsman. Esau was a man's man. He was a hunter. He lived outside. He roamed outside. He was an outdoorsman. He knew how to hunt and make a fire and do all things that you think about a man needs to know how to do in that time. Jacob, on the other hand, he was not like that. The Bible said in verse 27, that Jacob was a plain man, dwelling in tents. Jacob liked to stay home with his mama. And you read and learn about Jacob. He was a pretty good cook. He knew how to do some things like that. I guess he stayed home and watched the cooking channel and read books. I don't know. He didn't like to get outside. He just sort of liked to stay around the house. And that's how Jacob was. So you got twin boys. And they are just as opposite as day and night. One's rough, outdoorsy. The other's not. He likes to stay at home, dwell in the tents, hang around mom and help her around the house. And, of course, there's nothing wrong with that. They just are two different type boys. Now, Jacob is the greater of the two. You look at that. First of all, you say, well, Esau, he should have been. He should have been, but Jacob was the greater of the two. If you know your names in the Bible and you know, begin with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Jacob who became Israel. Nobody says Abraham, Isaac, and Esau. It's Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Jacob was the greater of the two. But I want to preach this morning on Esau, some things about Esau and this man that despised his birthright, and point out some things about Esau. Now, Esau, number one this morning, Esau was a privileged young man. Look in verse number 25, what the Bible says, and the first, he's privileged. You ought to underline that in your Bible. Because in the Bible, the way it was in Jewish families, the first had all the privilege. He had the responsibility, and the firstborn in the family received a double portion of the inheritance of the wealth. That's who Esau was. He was the firstborn. The first came out red all over like an hairy garment, and they called his name Esau. He was the rightful heir to the birthright. It gave him all of the advantage in life, a double portion of wealth. It wasn't when the dad and mom passed away, they went and read the will and the lawyer sorted it all out or anything like that. It was just that the firstborn received a double portion, received twice what the others did because he had all the responsibility of the family put upon him. It was his responsibility to be the leader. It was his responsibility to take care of spiritual things, and he would sort of take the place of dad and mom when they were gone. So the firstborn in Bible times was very, very important, and he had the responsibility in all of these things, and that's probably why he had such a special relationship with his father, because his father's going to groom him to take his place when he's gone. And we see that special relationship again in verse number 28. It said, and Isaac loved Esau. Boy, when Isaac seen Esau and the great man that he was and all the things that he could do, Isaac looked at him and he said, boy, he's going to be a good one. I'm just going to foster this relationship and bring him along. He said, because he did eat of his venison, is what the Bible said, and so he had that special relationship, that birthright, being the firstborn. Let me say this morning that it wasn't just any birthright that Esau was inheriting. Esau, being the grandson of Abraham, put him in a direct covenant relationship with the Lord. Now, this is just not a bunch of camels and sheep and goats we're talking about. But if you know anything about the Bible, you know that God had made some special promises to Abraham and to his descendants. And Esau being the firstborn, that puts him in direct line to all the promises that God had made to Abraham. Look back just for example in chapter 18, verse number 18. We could look in several places. Chapter 15, chapter 17, chapter 18. Have you ever heard about the Abrahamic covenant? God made a covenant with Abraham and his descendants. And he made some promises unto Abraham. Esau was to inherit. He was in a direct line for this covenant relationship that God had made with Abraham. And it said in chapter 18, in verse number 18 in Genesis, it said, seeing that Abraham shall surely become a great and mighty nation, and all the eight nations of the earth shall be blessed in him. Esau was in line to inherit all the promises that God had made unto Abraham. Esau had a great privilege in his life. Esau was, you talk about getting a head start on others, Esau had the head start. Esau was in line. Esau, he was set up for life. He had a great privilege. He had a mom and a daddy that loved God and a grandmother and a grandfather that loved the Lord, and he grew up around the things of God and knew people that actually heard from God, walked with God, knew what it was to be in fellowship and worship the Lord and build altars. I mean, he was blessed by God. You talk about a privilege. You talk about winning the spiritual lottery. Esau did. Esau was set for life. If anybody had an opportunity to make their life count for God, it was Esau. But if you study about Esau's life, you find that he did not make his life count for God, even though he had this great, great privilege in his life. And you know, that makes me think about many today. If you know anything about trends that are going on in churches, it would astound and amaze us this morning how many young people are raised under good, sound, doctrinal preaching. They are raised by grandparents and parents that love God and want to walk with the Lord and do the very best that they can, yet they do not count it a
good thing, but they lightly esteem their privileges. When they grow up and get older, they just walk away from it all. We are very privileged in these mountains that we live in. We're very privileged by the preaching and the teaching and the heritage that we have. You know, it's something that we don't like sometimes to be reminded of our privileges. Or that we're blessed. But we are. You know, when we were growing up, my mom sometimes she'd say to us boys, me and my brother, she'd say, "There's some children in China that would like to have your supper, if we weren't eating our supper." There's some, and when I was growing up, there's always commercials on TV about children in Africa and they're hungry and you could feed them for so much a day and things like that. And so maybe that's where they got that from. There's some children in Africa would like to have your what you won't eat. See, we're spoiled rotten. And it didn't mean anything to us because we know that at the next mealtime when it rolls around, we're going to have something else good on our plate and we're going to eat in between meals and we're just used to it. We're used to the blessings of God all around about us, and that's how we are spiritually as well. We eat pretty good, I think. I mean, if you can go on the radio and hear good preaching. Brother Mark was talking about out west, and I know I've been out there. You get past about Tennessee, and what you can get on the radio as far as good, sound, biblical preaching and singing and things like that is few and far between. It's nothing to us. Churches will have revival all spring long, all fall long. There's so much going on, you can't get around to all of it. And, you know, if you sort of zone out one Sunday and you don't get much out of it, well, just come back next time. There'll be more preaching. We're spoiled. And we have it so good compared to others in the world. Jesus said in Luke 12:48, He said, "Unto whom much is given, of the same is much required." I believe the Lord's going to require a lot more out of us because we've had so much more given to us. We've had so much more opportunity spiritually speaking, and so we're blessed as a church and our young people, and we have these opportunity and we have this heritage and all these things we can be thankful for, just like Esau. But you study about Esau. Esau just didn't care for the things of God. He despised his birthright. Birthright. He despised it. He counted it a light thing. He didn't value, he didn't appreciate what he had in the Lord. But he was a privileged person. Second of all, this morning, Esau was a profane person. Now, I'm going to get you to turn to Hebrews chapter 12. But keep your place here. Esau was a profane person. You say, "Preacher, what does that mean? Esau was a profane person." Well, it means this. Esau, really, he's a heathen. He was, to be profane means to be irreverent towards the things of God. It didn't mean anything to him. The spiritual part of his life, he had no care at all for spiritual things. Now, before I read in Hebrews, I want to read in Genesis 25 and verse number 30. The Bible said over there, Genesis 25, verse 30, "And Esau said to Jacob, 'Feed me, I pray thee, with that same red pottage, for I am faint.' Therefore was his name called Edom. And Jacob said, 'Sell me this day thy birthright.' And Esau said, 'Behold, I am at the point to die. And what profit shall this birthright do to me?'" Now Esau, he had no concern for spiritual things. He said, "What good is this birthright to me? Just I want some of that pottage you're making over there. I want something to eat." See, Esau's fleshly appetite is what got him into trouble to begin with. Hebrews chapter 12, that's where I ask you to turn. It's verse number 16, what the Bible says over there, Hebrews 12 and 16. Lest there be any fornicator or profane person. There's that word profane. Profane person as Esau, who for one morsel of meat sold his birthright. For one morsel of meat, Esau sold his birthright to satisfy a fleshly lust, to satisfy a hunger pang. He sold his spiritual birthright. And that's why the Bible says he was a profane person. He was irreverent towards the things of God. It didn't mean anything to him. You know, what'll get you in trouble in this life as much as anything is your old fleshly appetite. If you don't learn to control old fleshly appetite, what yourself comes along and says to you, it'll get you in a whole lot of trouble in this life. But I've found this out. If you never develop an appetite for things, those things will never come along and control you. Say, preacher, what are you talking about? If you never take one sip of alcohol in your life, I promise you, you will never become an alcoholic. Did you know that? I mean, stuff's nasty anyway. And when I was growing up, there's an older man in our church that I grew up in. And my mom always said that what he said was he thought they ought to pour it back in the horse. That wasn't good. It was nasty. Well, if it's so nasty, how come so many people is ruined and wrecked their lives over it? Because you develop an appetite for things. And it begins to control you, your old flesh. Your old flesh. But if you don't develop an appetite, if you never start watching pornography or looking at pornography, you will never be controlled by it. But you start looking at things and developing an appetite in your heart and your mind for things, it'll come to the place where it controls you. The book of Psalms talks about sin, and it likens sin to being a chains wrapped round about us. Sin's like that. And old Esau, he's just a type of the flesh. He's controlled by the flesh. He is steered in his life by the flesh. What you allow in your mind and in your heart, it does affect you. It does influence you. That's why you ought to be careful what music you listen to. You know the message of Hollywood and rock and roll and pop music and video games, and I mean the world is continually preaching unto young people, old people, sex, sin, wreck your life, rebel against God. That's the message from the world. You listen to that enough, it affects your mind. Music has an effect upon you. You go to the dentist's office and they play, I hope, calm, soothing, classical music or something like that. You don't want them playing what you go to a football game in the ear. Hey, you go to a football game and they're beating out this, you know, we're going to win, and we're going to, you know, the marching band and going to war type beat. I don't want the dentist listening to that. I want him to be calm and relaxed, and I don't want that one of them fish hooks rammed through my jaw. That's my greatest. And they begin to put pressure. You know how they do that. And I say, oh Lord, please don't let him slip. I want him to be calm. Music affects you a certain way. It makes you want to do things. Makes you, it controls you. Esau had a fleshly appetite. What you allow into your mind, your heart, you allow to control you, you will act that out in your life. Jeremiah said in Jeremiah 15, 16, he said, thy words were found, and I did eat them, and they were the joy and the rejoicing of my heart. You want to get something in your life that will help you with the problem that you have with your flesh, get in the Word of God. Get in the Bible. Psalms 119, 105, Thy Word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. The Word of God will help you in this life. Wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way? By taking heed thereto according to thy word. Listen what the word of God says, not what the world says. Do you know what Esau said here? And this always amazes me in verse number 32. And Esau said, Behold, I am at the point to die. And what profit shall this birthright do to me? You know what? I don't believe for one second that he was about to die. Do you believe Esau was about to die? He's just like a whole lot of people are. They think in their minds, if I don't do this, it's going to kill me. If I don't have this, I'm going to die. That's how the flesh operates in our life. That's how the devil is in our life, getting us to the point that we think if we don't have something, do something, that we're going to die. But you're not going to die. And the older you get, I hope the more you'll realize that. But young people especially go through that, and there's all that peer pressure. If you're not accepted by this group, you're going to die. If you don't have a certain brand of clothes to wear, you're going to die. You girls, if you don't have your hair a certain way, or you look a certain way, or what somebody thinks about you, you're going to die. Listen to me, you're not going to die. If you don't get what you think you just have to have, or you're going to die. You're not going to die. Because all of us adults are here. And we didn't die when we were growing up, when we were told, no, you can't have that, it's not good for you. No, you can't do that. My mom, bless her heart, I love her. I appreciate her raising us up in our life. There was things I wanted to do, and mom said, no. And I said, why? She said, because I said so. You didn't always get an explanation, but you got an answer, and you better not go against it. No, you're not going to die. Esau said, I'm at the point of death. I might as well sell my birthright. What good's it going to do to me if I die anyway? He was profane. He had no idea in his mind how important this was, what he was selling off in his life. And he said, whatever. And he sold his birthright. He had no respect for spiritual things. Esau was profane. Number three, Esau was persuaded. Look at verse number 33. In verse number 34, verse 33 said, And Jacob said, Swear to me this day. And he sware unto him. And he sold his birthright unto Jacob. Verse 34, Then Jacob gave Esau bread and pottage of lentils. And he did eat and drink, rose up and went his way. Thus Esau despised his birthright. Esau was persuaded. Once you're dissatisfied with your place in life, once you get discontented with the way that things are, you will be easily persuaded to go another direction. And the devil works overtime to keep us discontent, to keep us stirred up, riled up, hating the way our life is right now. Have you ever stopped to think that that might be from the devil? He's trying to get you to sell your spiritual birthright. And that's how Esau was. Whenever you trade something spiritual for something temporary, you're always going to come out on the losing end. And that's what Esau did here. But look how easily it got gone in Esau's life. He said, Swear to me. And he swore. And that was it. That was it. His birthright. For what did he get out of that? You know what he got out of that? Have you ever been to Panera in the mall? Do you know them bread bowls where they take a piece of bread and they dig the middle out of it and they put some soup in it and you pay for that? I've been with Kim a lot of times. I've never had one of them bread bowls. Of all the things that you could have in a restaurant like that, they're not the only one that has them, but for that, it wasn't even a filet mignon. That's what I'm saying. For a bowl of soup, he lost everything that he had. For nothing. And if you lose your spiritual heritage, you know what it'll be traded for? Nothing. Whatever you get out of it, you're getting nothing compared to what you got. Esau despised his birthright, and he gave it all away for a bowl, a pottage of lentils. That's pea soup. That's not even, I don't even think it had any meat in it. It's just lentils. That's peas is what it is for a bowl of pea soup and some bread. He gave his right of being a prince away for nothing. And I'm sure he enjoyed it. It said it had eaten drink, rose up, and went his way. And that was that. Didn't mean anything to him. Did you keep your place in Hebrews chapter 11? I want to read a couple of verses over there. There's another man in the Bible we read about, and him and Esau are really a contrast one with another. Hebrews chapter 11 and verse number 24. Let's read something over here about Moses. Hebrews chapter 11 verse number 24. Look what the Bible says. By faith Moses, when he was come to years, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season. Let me tell you this morning, sin is enjoyable, but only for a season. That is very short-lived. Wouldn't it be interesting if they made beer and liquor commercials like life really is? Nobody wouldn't be as appealing. That party phase, it lasts a very short time before grief and heartache and sorrow and pain and death and violence and all that goes along with it. Lasts a very short period of time, but it talks about the pleasures of sin for a season. Esteeming the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasures in Egypt. For he had respect unto the recompense of the reward. By faith he forsook Egypt, not fearing the wrath of the king, for he endured as seeing him who is invisible. If Moses and Esau would have lived at the same time, do you know they would have passed one another on the road? Because Moses was raised by the devil's crowd. And he went to God's people. That's what that says. He refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter. He refused the riches of Egypt. All the lore, all the Hollywood extravaganza of Egypt, Moses refused it. And he chose to suffer reproach with the people of God. Esau, on the other hand, he was raised by the people of God. And he went with the devil's crowd. And so, if Moses and Esau had lived at the same time, they'd have passed one another on the road, coming from opposite directions. And here's the funny thing about it. Both of them, as they met one another, they'd have been saying, "Freedom!"
For ye know how that afterward, when he would have inherited the blessing, he was rejected. Moses saw the afterward. By faith he forsook Egypt. He went with God's people. Esau did not see the afterward. And I'm telling you, if we could just learn to see the afterward, it'd save us a whole lot of heartache and grief and pain in our lives. If we could look down the road just a little bit and see where we're headed and what we're going to end up with, Esau did not see the afterward. And when he got to the afterward, it was too late. Esau was persuaded. He made a bad deal. Do you know what this morning? There is always an afterward. You young people, you middle people, you older people, all you people and myself included this morning, all of us, there's an after. Be not deceived. God is not mocked. For whatsoever man soweth, that shall he also reap. Yeah, you're going to do this today, but what about tomorrow? After. You're going to make this decision now. What's it going to reap down the road? I was sitting there studying this morning, and the good Holy Ghost of God reminded me, buddy, you was almost an Esau. Me. How close in my life that I came to be an Esau. Raised in a good family, raised in church, good parents, godly grandparents. Grandpa's a preacher and all that. And buddy, in high school I started going after the things of this world, and I was almost an Esau. But after I got married, somewhere along in there, the good Holy Ghost of God came along, gave me some sense to see that I was going down the wrong road, and afterward was just going to be a mess. That's the grace of God. That's the grace of God in my life. He spoke to my heart in a backslid condition and let me get right with God and get back on the right path. Not every prodigal comes home, but every once in a while one does. God still puts shoes on their feet and a ring on their finger and a robe on their back. And they said, I'd just like to come be a servant. And the father said, I love you. You're still my son. It's going to be all right. God's good. God's good. But Esau was persuaded, and he did not see the afterward. And in Hebrews chapter 12, verse number 17, the Bible does say that Esau was penitent. Verse 17, for ye know that afterward, when he would have inherited the blessing, he was rejected, for he found no place of repentance, though he sought it carefully with tears. Now Esau was penitent, but he had no repentance. There's a difference between those two. To be penitent just means this. It means to be sad. It means to be sorry. It means to be humble at the realization of regret of one's deeds. There did come a time in Esau's life where he was sorry for what he'd done. But it was too late. It's too late. He cried. He tried to get it back. But it's too late. It was gone. Gone forever. He found no place of repentance, is what the Bible says. He had a worldly sorrow. But a worldly sorrow is not good enough. There's a lot of people have worldly sorrow. I'm sorry I've gotten this shape. I'm sorry to put you through this. I'm sorry for this. I'm sorry for that. But I'm telling you, in our churches, it would help us to have some good old-fashioned repentance, getting right with God, turning around, doing the right thing. Oh, I'm sorry. Well, I'm sorry too. But there's a difference in just being sorry and repenting and getting right with God. There are some things, once they're gone for good. And you'll never get them back. Youth is a thing that once it is gone for good, and you'll never, ever get it back. That's why the Bible says the old preacher in Ecclesiastes chapter 12, I think it's verse number 10 or verse 13, he said, remember now thy Creator in the days of thy youth. There's nothing wrong with serving God while you're young. Once it's gone, once your youth is gone, it's gone for good. I'm thankful. I'm very thankful God called me at a young age. And I'm thankful I didn't waste half of my life, all of my life, running down the wrong road. Once time is gone, it's gone for good. You'll never get it back. Once opportunity's gone, it's gone for good. Once purity's gone, it's gone for good. You young people need to be reminded. Once you hold hands for the first time, you'll never hold hands for the first time again. It's gone. Once you hug, once you kiss, once you this and on and on and on you go. Once that's gone, it's gone. Never get it back. Why don't people have a desire? I mean, I'm not saying nobody does, but few and far between, why don't we foster this among our young people, our daughters, our sons? Be pure. Go to the marriage altar pure. Stand there. Have your first kiss before God and everybody else. You'll be glad. A lot of people, by the time they get married, have worn each other out. They're so used to each other, and they've been around, and they've crossed all these ungodly boundaries in their life, and there's no holiness. No purity. But make sure you get them something nice at Belk's. You know, that's where we're at. But isn't it a good thing to see somebody? Just be pure. That's what I want for my children, my family, the young people in the church. Some things, once they're gone, they're gone. Once your testimony's gone, it's gone. The best thing is to don't get wrong. Don't get wrong. Don't go down that wrong road. And you won't have to try to climb back up the rough side to get back where you was to begin with. Trying to help you this morning. Don't get wrong. See what Esau did not see. He did not see the afterward. He did not see the afterward. I promise you, you go down the wrong step, there's an afterward. You'll be so sorry. But sometimes it's hard to get it back. And I'm thankful for the grace of God. After I surrendered to preach and I was in the military and I was overseas, and that was easy comparatively. But when I come back home and I tried to stand in a pulpit and preach the Word of God, at that time I was really not very far removed from high school. It hadn't been that many years. And I stood there trying to preach to people that I had went down the wrong road with. You know what I had to do? A lot of times I had to go and talk to somebody. I had to try to explain. Look, I'm not who I was. See, God did a work in my life. I'm sorry for being a bad testimony. Hey, all us boys grew up, a lot of us boys grew up in church together. We was all going to church together. We didn't lay out people going to church. We was going to church and doing things we ought not to be doing. That's a terrible testimony. I had to go and tell some of my friends, I'm sorry. We shouldn't be. And it wasn't always the worst thing you can think of. I mean, sometimes we're just boys. But we wasn't acting much like Christian boys ought to. Our testimony. But I always see that there's an afterwards. Yeah, Esau tried to get right with God, but he couldn't. He didn't. Though he sought it carefully with tears, is what the Bible says. I'd like for us to have our heads bowed and our eyes closed.